Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Where's Huddle with me, Bram. No Maxine today, but with me per usual, my boy and producer, MT.
What's up, Dub Nation?
Marcus, I am fired up to announce that rejoining us after hell of long, the Golden State beat writer for the San Francisco Chronicle, the presiding judge of our own honorable basketball court, a man whose tweet about Kuminga and Steph sitting courtside in Vegas made me start telling people that JK and Curry are best fucking friends now, and a guy who can't quite type Giannis Antetokounmpo's name with his eyes closed, Mr. CJ Holmes. What's going on, CJ?
What up, everybody? Good to be back.
Good to have you, man. I'm going to do my own kind of investigative reporting here. I'm looking behind you. It looks like a hotel room. I have been basically stalking you on social media. You in Vegas right now?
I'm actually in a bunker in South Sudan. We have Wi-Fi.
I was so confident about that Vegas guest too. That's that really changes my outlet. We're gonna have a lot of South Sudan questions now.
Definitely in Vegas. I've been out here since the start of summer league on the 7th. I was able to convince my editors, let me do some reporting out here until the 17th. So far so good. I've been taking it real easy. Girlfriend's gonna be in town later in the week, so that'll be awesome. But everything's been going well, and it's been a good summer so far. It's been a good summer.
Here's some legal advice, CJ. If you begin a sentence with, I've convinced my editors to make me stay the entire week, the next portions of that sentence can't be, I've been taking it easy and my girlfriend's visiting in a couple of days. So we'll edit that out. Maxine will be able to take care of that as we go forward. I mean, Marcus, when he first jumped on, he was writing hella stories, looked hella busy. I mean, he was like interviewing people. So, I mean, we got his back here.
Yeah, I got a shameless plug. I got a feature on Trace Jackson Davis coming out in the next 24 hours. So it's funny because before we got on the phone, we were kind of talking about Marvel and how it's really fallen off since Endgame. And Trace is actually a huge movie fan. So we got into a little bit of that, and it'll be a good glimpse into the Warriors' acquired second-round pick.
And you only know that if you work tirelessly ever since you've gotten there.
I mean, what people don't know is the reason why CJ's girlfriend is coming in, so you could help with that piece. They might not even have any personal time. CJ, you've been nice enough to share some of your approaches to getting interviews with us in the past. And I projected. If I had a basketball past, I would use that to try to become friends with the players. I happen to know you're a movie aficionado and you're good at it. You can talk movies as well as anybody. Did you use that with Trace? Did you casually bring it up? I'm a huge fucking Marvel guy and get into his good graces.
Well, like when I do got features on guys, especially like guys who, aren't well known to the fan base, always the first one, I want it to be less about basketball and more about, who is this person? What do they like? What makes them tick? So, after we got into the interview a little bit, it's just a simple, Trace, like, who are you, man? Like, take the basketballs away. If you're bored on a Saturday night, what are you doing? I don't want to give away too much of the story. But that's how I kind of get into that stuff. And, once you get into that stuff, you can get a real good picture of, like, who a person is.
Boom. I think we've satiated your editors. I'll follow up on the Vegas thing. So, personally.
Working hard, guys.
I have been to Vegas too many times. There's a period of my life I used to go there without a hotel room. I'd like spend the night at McCarran Airport on the floor if I needed to. But I have never gone there for Vegas Summer League, and I really want it. And my conception of it is that Summer League or Vegas during Summer League is like Disneyland, right? Like the same way my kid, when she goes to Disneyland and looks around, it's all these characters she's seen on TV in a very small place. I would imagine Vegas during Summer League is like that. You go around and you see like GMs everywhere and players everywhere and just all these people who I've been following in one location. Is that right? Is it kind of like a mecca while it's going on?
Oh, for sure. It's a basketball mecca and ever since the word. I mean, you're driving down the strip, you see Nikola Jokic's face plastered on the side of the Marriott Hotel. I see players walking up and down the strip in their free time, coaches, front office executives, agents. For anyone who covers the league, this is like the one event. You know, you can skip a lot of events. You can skip the All-Star weekend if you want to. But Summer League is truly where every corner of the league comes together. And everybody knows somebody. It's a great place for networking. And then you take the basketball, able to get the first glimpse of rookies. You take that and you put that all aside, right? And you're still in Las Vegas, Nevada. So it's definitely cool. I'm always thankful. Every time I get the opportunity to come out here and do Summerland, this is my third or fourth Summer League. And every year it just seems to be getting better and better. So I love Summer League. I hope the NBA's in-season tournaments can, at least the championship, semifinals championship can capture some of the magic of Summer League. It's definitely, I would say, if not the top basketball events, and it's unquestionably the top basketball event of summer.
We got to get out there. And my gambling problems aren't as bad now as they were earlier in my life. So maybe I can actually make that happen. We'll explore that down the line. I got to ask. So off the court report, you're out there, and let's set up the idea and then give you a softball here. Off the court report's a segment we only occasionally get to do, but it's probably my favorite. And the idea is that it acknowledges the kind of access that CJ has, right? You're listening to this podcast, you know what the hell happens on the court. You probably watch all these games the way we do. But CJ interacts with these dudes off the court. He has stories that happen outside of the arena, and shit, he's in Vegas. So for this segment, we just throw him a softball. Has he seen anything or any stories come to mind? CJ, what do you got?
Well, you got into it a little bit. I'm sure a lot of people saw it on social media, but my thing is, so we just get done with the Chris Paul interview. Everyone's rushing back to their seats to, get a story up. And, as I'm walking around the arena, I think they'll grab a bottle of water. You look over there and, Steph's walking in the gym. He takes a seat next to Jonathan Kuminga. They're on the bench talking, chatting up. And then here comes Chris Paul sitting down right next to them. And later and shortly after, here comes Gary Payton. And, here comes Moses. And, yeah, there's the picture right there. But, I guess Moses was not there. But you get what I'm trying to say. And I guess the whole thing is one of the biggest storylines last year of the Warriors was their connectivity or lack thereof. And to see, four prominent players on the squad in Vegas together, sitting courtside, building that camaraderie, building that brothership. You saw some people tweeting out, the vibes are back. The vibes are back in. Hopefully this is a sign that the vibes are returning. One of the first things Chris Paul did when he arrived in Las Vegas was to get a workout in with Stephen Curry. I think he said it was their first time working out together since like 08. Yeah. That stuff is meaningful. That's the stuff you kind of want to hear when it comes to interactions with teammates and stuff, because that stuff snowballs and builds. And when you get to those regular season games, there's a greater sense of togetherness up and down the roster because the bricks –
The
bricks started building, months prior. So to me, something that's, it may seem small. You see, teammates sitting all the time, sitting courtside at Summer League all the time, different players and stuff like that. But to me, that's symbolic that hopefully, heading to this year, the Warriors can have a greater sense of connectivity because, when it comes to, when you think back to last year and why they didn't advance farther in the second round, why they didn't win a championship, a lot of people say it started with the punch and with Draymond Green and Jordan Poole, and it kind of just snowballed and the vibes were off all year long. To me, seeing this is symbolic that this team, these players are going out of their way to rebuild that chemistry. They can do that. They're already halfway there.
Dude, this thing feels like a huge deal. And I was prepared for it. So, I had this thing ready. We're now sharing my screen. We're looking at a picture and it's JK, GP2, Steph and CP3 all sitting together, watching a Vegas game together. And when this came out, I couldn't have been more excited. And I was kind of nervous, CJ, to ask you about it because I thought you might downshift it. You might be like, ah, no, you know, there's teammates sitting all over the place, but you did the exact opposite. You did exactly what I was hoping for. You know, you find this as significant as I do. And I'll tell you what, not only do I love that they're all sitting together, I love who's here. If I had to handpick the people who I would want to be like building a relationship even soft or even more solidly during the offseason, it'd be these guys. I love that JK is there. I love that CP3 is already trying to ingratiate himself to the teammates. I love that GP2 is there. I'm a huge fucking fan of this photograph. As you can see from the caption I put on Twitter, some pictures say 1,000 words. This one says 4, the culture is back. MT, you see this. What do you think, man? All locker room issues solved? Are we right back to the championship culture?
I mean, I don't think it's all solved just by this, but it's a good sign. And, you know,
good stuff. Good.
Yeah. You know, there are other teams there, you know, like you saw the Clippers there with PG and a few Clippers there and other teams doing the same thing. But what I like, and like you said, Bram, is the fact that CP3 is already there. You know, that everybody's talking about it's an awkward fit. Is he going to come off the bench? Blah, 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 blah. And, you know, he's just there and like, look, we're going to figure it out. We don't know what that answer is yet, but we're just, you know, we're hanging out and building that camaraderie off the floor. I think to your point, it's a really good sign and I like to see it.
We'll see. We got a lot of CP3 stuff coming up, so I'll keep that in pocket for now. One more off the court thing. I didn't even know, this shows how long it's been since I've been in Vegas. I didn't know about that $2.3 billion electronic dome that's out there now that I keep seeing pictures on social media. How awesome is it, dude? Like, is it crazy? I mean, give me a firsthand account. Have you seen it? Does it look like it's $2.3 billion? I mean, what are we talking about here?
I can confirm that I've seen the Sphere and that it looks very expensive. It's, you know, I don't want to like be too dramatic, but it's like a marvel of like modern engineering. I mean, to have a structure that big with like HD panels that can like, you know, you can put anything you want on there. I mean, that's super cool to me. And it's just like, it was funny because like I was in an Uber heading back to my hotel the other night, and I think my driver made a wrong turn and ended up like near the Sphere. And there's just tons of traffic on the street of people just like pulling over on the side of the road just to like sit there and watch it or sit there and take a picture. And what I didn't know is that there's actually an arena inside of the Sphere. I thought it was just for like looks, and then to find out there is an entire arena inside the Sphere. I'm like, why can't we play Summer League in the Sphere? My only thing about the Sphere is it's all fun and games till someone finds out how to hack the Sphere.
Oh, yeah.
And you can let your imagination go from there. But
I think it'll still be fun and games. You know, I'm real excited to see what the hell happens there. And I like how you started this.
If it is electronic, it can be hacked.
MT, did you like when CJ said, look, I don't want to overstate this. I'm going to play it kind of cool. It is a marvel of modern engineering. It is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. But I don't want
to be dramatic, but ninth wonder of the world, maybe?
Kind of 9th through 20th. You know, like, don't even bother making any more modern marvels of the world because we now have them all. For people who haven't seen it, I think you're right, CJ, because somebody sent me a picture of it, and then I went on a deep dive. It's a concert venue, and I think it's associated with the Venetian. They spent $2.3 billion to build a concert venue whose entire outside is all LED screens, and they can use it to show whatever the hell they want. So I hadn't thought of the hacking angle, but I'm now really looking forward to the hacking angle. We'll see how that plays. All right, boss. Let's turn to our glass half full. So this is a section we do all the time. And the idea is as easy as off the court. We look back at Warriors news and give something we like and something we don't. But recently, I haven't really been able to use it. I keep bringing it up and then I hedge it. But there's not a lot of Warriors news. Not true today, boys. We are swimming in Warriors free agency news. So today, we're not just going to start with this segment. We are using this segment for the entire podcast. It is the backbone of how we're going to approach this news. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a recent signing by Golden State and then ask both of you if you like it or don't and why. And let's start with the big one. All right. We've already alluded to it. I've talked about it a bunch on the show, but we haven't heard your guys' opinion. CP3. So the Warriors trade everybody on their roster under the age of basically 25, maybe more than that, under the age of 30 to bring back Chris Paul. It's got a lot of attention. CJ, let me start with you, man. Like it or don't?
You know, heading in the summer league, I was talking myself into it. You know, one of the biggest issues the Warriors had last year and, you know, over the last couple of years is, you know, those non-Curry minutes and stuff has to go to the bench and, you know, with that second unit and the production that they can bring. Maybe not so much so during the championship year a couple of years ago, but it was still an issue. I still remember writing that at least a couple of times throughout the year. With that said, some of the Warriors' biggest issues last year were that those second unit minutes and turnovers. And CP3 is a guy who can come in, you can insert him into that second unit, he's going to run the shows, he can keep turnovers low, he can bring out the best of a guy like John McKaminga. He has another young lob threat in Trayce Jackson-Davis, who the Warriors just acquired recently in the NBA draft out of Indiana. You know, get easy shots for guys like Moses Moody, Pazemski, you know, things of that nature. However, that upside, that entire scenario is completely contingent on Chris being able to accept the lesser role of the Warriors, you know, much like Andre Iguodala had to a couple of years back. However, we then spoke to Chris out here in Las Vegas a couple of days ago, and let's just say he didn't seem too thrilled with the idea of that, right? You know, regardless of how he feels, when someone asks you, you know, what do you envision for your role? Granted, Chris Paul is Chris Paul. He's one of the greatest point guards of all time. He can say whatever the hell he wants, honestly. But I don't know. The typical answer to that question should be, you know, I'll do whatever, you know, head coach Steve Kerr and this team needs. You know, I'm just, you know, I'm not looking to be a distraction. I'm just looking to come in, you know, play hard and do whatever it takes to help the team win. Now, granted, you know, then we talked to Chris and his response was more so, well, you know, when asked about, you know, coming off in second, you know, the question is, are you the coach? You know,
and it was chippy as shit. I've got it here and we're going to play it in 2 seconds. All right. Before we do, cause I have a lot of follow-ups on the whole you coaching, back and forth. Before we do, MT, I want your opinion. I mean, bottom line, CJ, so factor in, we're going to talk about the starting thing and all of that, but bottom line, factor in, you've now talked to the man, you know, you've had a chance to think it out, like, or don't the CP3, that's unfair to say. Do you think the move for Chris Paul helps the Warriors become more of a title contender this year?
I think it does. This is all the reason I said. The fact that he can really, you know, be the spark plug in that second unit and help keep the turnovers low and get the young guys involved. However, that's contingent in his ability to sacrifice. And based on what we heard in Vegas,
yeah,
I'm not sure if he's willing to do that. I could be wrong. It just didn't rub me the right way. And if Chris Paul cannot sacrifice, that's going to be a problem. That's going to be a problem. It's going to hold the team back if there's internal issues with his playing time and his usage, things like that. Because the guy hasn't came off the bench since, like, I think his, like, junior year of high school or something crazy like that. So, you know, obviously it's going to be a major adjustment for him if that's what he's asked to do. But if Chris Paul is unwilling sacrifice and do what's best for the team, then it can end up, you know, you can sit on the bench in summer league and, you know, say all you want, take your little videos for Warriors Nation, but if Chris can't sacrifice and if he is asked to come off that bench and he does not like that, I think it's going to cause more tension and more issues for this team than help them.
So I mean, fuck man, we just talked about the thing we're most worried about is the vibes being back. You know, I wasn't 8 seconds removed from tweeting the culture is back to then seeing that back and forth with Chris Paul we're about to play. It's like, oh my God, like we have a brand new locker room problem. So, but I'm sorry to keep bearing. We're going to go to that locker room problem. MT, before I play that, because we'll talk about the starters thing in a second. Just, we haven't heard from you. Generally speaking, this Chris Paul thing, man, good thing, bad thing? How did it hit you?
Same as CJ. He hit it spot on for me. I think it's all of how he accepts his role. The amount of minutes that CP3 has logged in the past 5 to 6 seasons is arguably the reason why he breaks down in the playoffs. So I think him being willing to embrace lighter load management, coming off the bench and saving himself for the playoffs, to me is the ultimate question. If he does that, then I think we're better for all the reasons CJ listed, primarily ball security, veteran presence, and you know, just better defense than what you're giving up with, you know, Jordan Poole and those other picks and players. So I ultimately like it, but I think all of it in the kind of the chippiness that you heard from CP3 and what we'll get into when you play that clip, I think that's mostly based on it being so new. Like, he's going to his ultimate rival. You know, it's almost, you know, the only worst situation would be is if we got James Harden. Then, you know, like, all bets are off for how Warriors fans react to that. So CP3 was a nemesis. We said a lot of things that we have to go back and scrub off of this podcast because of it now.
Not me. I've always been positive. You
know, I think it takes time for him to get acclimated to that. And once he gets into that culture and he feels it and he's playing and, you know, his body is feeling better because he doesn't have as much responsibility throughout the regular season, I'm hoping that that translates into him accepting the role, being a Manu Ginobili off the bench, and it being a net positive for us.
So I'll pull up this quote while I do. Let me add one more analysis I haven't said yet into this mic for this or Chris Paul, whether or not it's a good idea. Depends on which playoff series you look at, right? I look at the Lakers series and they lost. It was all the issues we had during the regular season. They were making poor fucking decisions at the end of the game. We were having IQ problems. We weren't making smart decisions. And that is exactly what Chris Paul will help with. Back up a series though. Go to Sacramento. Took a game seven historical performance from our point guard to avoid the loss. And the reason we were losing to that team is we were too old. Malik Monk was destroying us. You know, we didn't have anyone who could keep up with him, and getting rid of JP and bringing in Chris Paul doesn't necessarily fix that. So we could look at it from either angle, but all right, enough foreplay. Here is the back and forth between Chris Paul and I think it was Kendra Andrews.
You'd be coming off the bench playing with the second unit that's a lot younger than this, the Warriors of the past have been, of JK and Moses. Just what do you think of their depth, their bench players that you might be playing alongside?
You coaching?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know what the situation is going to be yet. You know what I mean? So I think that'll be for us to figure out once we get going.
All right. So let's start baseline. CJ, were you there? Were you there live as you watched that unfold?
I was the opposite of Chris on the other side.
Awkward? I mean, what was the feel? He says that, you know, like, because when it happened, if I was there, I can see taking no notes, but just like looking down so that I didn't have to be making eye contact with anybody, because it's just it felt awkward watching it on the screen in person. Was it? Was it a weird back and forth?
Oh, it was very awkward. And, you know, Chris had a couple of, I don't want to call it sassy, but, you know, he had a couple of snippy, you know, remarks along, you know, similar questions, you know, throughout the press conference. Now, Kendra's an incredible reporter. I give her tons of credit for asking the hard question, right? Yeah. Maybe phrase it a little differently. I don't know, but you know, at the same time, it's Chris's reaction to that, which is kind of has me worried, right?
Hell yes,
it's the reactions, because, like I said, normally it would be, hey, you know, most guys would say something like, hey, you know, like I said earlier, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to, you know, help the team win. For Chris, a guy who has zero NBA championships, despite his, you know, laundry list of accomplishments and accolades in the NBA, you know, winning that championship should be at the forefront of his mind. He should be willing to do whatever it takes to accomplish that, and should present himself as such. But, you know, but at the same time, you gotta love Chris Paul for keeping it real, you know, for keeping it honest. You know, that fieriness is, you know, why he's been able to accomplish everything he accomplished in his NBA career. But, you know, that press conference in general just, you know, rubbed me the wrong way a little. And it kind of makes me worried about him being able to, you know, accept a reduced role if that's indeed what he has to do. And on paper, it looks like that's kind of what you have to do. You start Chris Paul, who are you taking out the starting lineup? Like, Klay Thompson isn't sitting down anytime soon. You bench Looney, like, yeah, you might score a lot of points, but you're going to be getting dunked on left and right. So it's a delicate situation. I do not envy Steve Kerr at all for these conversations he's going to have during training camp in the fall, and how the Warriors balance on that tightrope will go a long way in determining just how good they are next year.
So the next question is going to be, should he start? And if he should, who should they sit, right? Looking at just like hearing that comment, awkward, would I like to have handled it differently? So I think I understand where it came from. In order to have the kind of career that Chris Paul did, you have to have an enormous ego. You have to believe yourself to be the greatest person on the floor at any point. And I can see bristling if I've spent my entire, you know, decades dominating the thing I do. And then somebody asking something that suggests my skill level has slipped a little bit. I can see having a fucky response. I get where that came from. But to address what you're talking about, CJ, it's not just that he hasn't won a title and this is his best chance, although you're right. It's the circumstance. Phoenix just decided they're better without him, and they put him into a basketball jail in Washington. The Warriors rescued him from that basketball jail.
Don't disrespect my Wizards.
Continue. I'm sorry. Okay. A city that is poised to not win anything, but I'm sure it's not a basketball jail. But in that circumstance, right, he goes from, there has to be at least some honest look at, my career isn't where I'd really like it to be right now, you know? And then he comes here to Golden State. When he's asked that question, there's a lot of ways he could have said what he said without making it a fuck you. You know, and you could start with the, look, we haven't talked about role yet. I mean, because that's really what he's saying, and we'll figure it out. But, and then trigger everything you talked about. But I'm here to win. I'm wide. My perspective is wide open. I'm willing to do anything. So, you know, let's see. Let's see where it goes, especially in the first fucking press conference. We can get through the introductory press conference without immediately starting some kind of drama in the locker room. But Marcus, I'm way more conflict based. You know, I like to read FU into things that might not have them. You heard that. What do you think, man? Was it an FU? Was it just a, they caught him off guard and he just responded the way he did?
Again, I still think it's him getting used to the idea that he's playing with the Golden State Warriors. But, you know, I have a huge caveat that, you know, CJ was in the room, and I'm a big believer in the energy in the room. And if he's saying that the energy, you know, you could feel it, then, you know, I roll with that. So my hope is that it's just him getting acclimated to the fact that he's playing for the team that was kind of his rival for his entire career. And, you know, he's going to have to accept the role. You know, there's great players never want to hang it up. And, you know, he's one of the best point guards to ever do it. Even though he's 38, he still feels like he should be starting. When you look at it on paper, he should not be starting. So, you know, it'll be an interesting conversation. And hopefully he's willing to humble himself from that point and really take over. Not, you know, you hear a lot about how JK and some of the other players will benefit. I think Klay Thompson will benefit the most from that. When it's the second unit and he's in charge and he's got the full green light, the fact that Chris Paul can set up the offense and kind of get him his shots where he doesn't have to, you know, go off the dribble quite as much anymore, I think will really benefit him. So hopefully he will embrace it. You know, Steve Kerr has a history of playing his centers and starting them, and they still only get about 12 minutes per game, depending on the lineup. So, you know, as long as Chris Paul is okay with not starting but still playing 30 minutes a game, I think it should be all right.
You know what I liked about the back and forth? My favorite part about it was Kendra's answer. You know what's more, one of the only things more aggressive than a rhetorical question? An answer to a rhetorical question. If I, for no reason, was like, you know who the best Warriors podcaster is, you know, just like super condescendingly threw that out there. And then one of you're like, yeah, it's not you. That is an incredible fuck you for him to have said, are you coaching? I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure he knows that she's not on the coaching staff. And for her to say no was so fantastic. It took a lot of career confidence. She knows who she is. And I was really impressed by it. CJ, I cut you off. What were we going to say?
Hey, I would have been like, look, Chris, look, Steve ain't re-signed that contract yet. So I might be the coach. You better be like,
You don't know, Chris. I might be the coach.
Like, you don't know. And I got one more small off the court report. So after Chris finishes his press conference, and this is one of Marcus's points, you know, that, you know, I mean, Chris still wrapping his head around the idea that he's a Golden State Warrior. As Raymond Ritter is handing him his jersey, you know, for his photo op, you hear Chris mumble, "Never thought I'd see the day."
No.
Nice.
That makes two of us, Chris. That makes two of us. But you know what? Welcome aboard.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so the next one. Should he start, gentlemen? So let's say, CJ, knowing that you're going to be joining the roster next year as a member of the coaching staff, Kerr calls you right now and says, look, man, I'm not sure. I got this problem. It's getting bigger and bigger. Everybody's starting to report that he might start. What should I do? Should I start Chris Ball? What would your advice be?
Absolutely not. For all of the points that we've made so far on the pod, but the numbers are the biggest supporters. The Warriors, when healthy, have the best starting five in basketball. Exactly. I don't know if it's net rating or offensive rating, but they're pretty damn good, and we all know it. The issue is the bench. The issue is the bench, and it just makes all too much sense for Chris to come off the bench. To Marcus's point, a lot of the wear and tear on his body is because of the high minutes that he's played throughout his career. Why not put him in a situation where he has to play less minutes, that keeps him fresher for longer, and he can take care of the Warriors, turn the ball over left and right last year. Chris is never going to turn that thing over. And he can get, like you said, Clay easy shots. That second unit is going to be getting some of the easiest looks that they've ever gotten in their career if Chris is running the show. And it just works out, right? And again, if you want to start Chris, then who are you taking out?
Exactly.
You can't take out Wiggins or Draymond.
No.
They're your best defenders. You have to take Looney off the court. It's Lob City, but not for the Warriors.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So,
hell yes.
So it makes the most sense for Chris to come off the bench. And you know, I hope he realizes that, because if he does that, if he's willing to accept and embrace that. It's funny because every time Chris goes to a new team over these last couple years, like, oh, this is his best chance. This is his best chance. No, this is his best chance to win a championship. It's right there in front of him. You know, I don't want to tell the point guard to humble himself, right? I need to humble myself.
Yep.
But this is a great opportunity for him. He fits a glaring need for this team, checks a lot of boxes. He just has to go out there and do it.
I couldn't agree more. And if I had any real shit to talk about that back and forth he had with Kendra, it's the attitude that it reflects. I was really hoping, as I've talked myself into this, because I have, I'm now excited for the move, and I think that they do have a shot at title contention. But that was all based on the idea that Chris Paul would also be really excited about this new opportunity. You know, and one of the things, just like you said, MT, you know, it's not about starting, it's about finishing. And what I would hope is that he wants to come in and have a regular season where he's playing less than 30 minutes a game, you know, where he's resting his body for the 16 games that matter. And then when he comes into those 16, he's focusing on closing them out, not starting them. And that FU response suggests, like, no, he's here to continue to be the person he always has been, which, you know, and to be fair, this is what Kerr is really good at. They haven't had the discussion, and maybe he'll be able to smooth this over and it disappears. But it was a little concerning. And do I want him to start? No, it doesn't make any sense. The CJ, you hit the nail on the head. The two basic options, from what I can tell, are Clay or Loon as the guy who's sitting. Of those two, the only person who could mentally handle it is probably Looney. No one at any point ever looked at the starting five last year and thought to themselves, you know what we have? Too much size. Let's get Loon off the floor, dude. Like, we're, you know, like, I don't know why we need anybody above 6'8". So no, that doesn't make any sense. You can't pull that. And I think he should finish, but I don't think he should start. MT?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he starts. I mean, you look at who, if all five starters are sitting, who's the second unit? You have CP3, GP2, Moses, Kuminga, and Saric. Like, that's a strong second five that can,
that's like 30 NBA wins.
Exactly. That can keep you in games. That can give, you know, our veterans enough rest. And, you know, I just, to me, when you lay that out and say, Chris, we need you to accept this role and lead these guys, you know, that's the perfect kind of players for him. He knows Saric, played with him in Phoenix. He's got a jumper in Kuminga that he can do the pick and roll with. He's got somebody in the corner. Moses can go stick the three when he's, you know, doing the pick and roll and a defender drops too much. And then he's got GP2 to kind of play a big guy and help on the defensive end. So to me, you know, for all the points you said, there's nobody that makes sense for him to drop. And it makes too much sense for him to lead that group and really get the best out of them.
Well, the thing that you just hit out of the park, I think, too, this hedges against that. I never thought I'd see the day take. right? It's all how you phrase it. If you go to him and say, we need you. This is not a championship roster without you. The thing that we missed the most last year, a team that was trying to defend his title, what we missed the most is your skill set, you know, and what where we need that skill set is within the second unit and then finishing games. We need this desperately from you. You know, so this isn't, you're not changing the role because your skills aren't there anymore. This isn't a product of age or, you know, degradation. It's a, this is what we desperately need. And you're the guy who can do it the best, you know, so please come in and do this. Do you think that as this goes forward, I mean, it's a bald-faced guess, but do you think this is going to cause locker room issues beyond the preseason, or, you know, will Kerr negotiate this away and, you know, by December, we're no longer worried about any of this bullshit?
I'll let you take that, MC.
I mean, TBD, you hope, you know, like, I think for as long as Chris Paul has been in the league, I think this version of Chris Paul, I have a good hope, and I think that he'll do it. If you get the first year of LA Clippers or the early Hornets days, Chris Paul, then it's different because his ego is too big and he's too talented. So I think so, and I hope so. And I, you know, there's cause for concern just because of the comments that he made. But to me, that it just makes too much sense for him to come off the bench. And like a lot of people are saying, oh, well, the type of play, like his style is pick and roll and the Warriors are free flowing and, you know, like it, they don't match. To me, that's a positive. I think the fact that we'd be able to change our style to adapt, a lot of teams have been able to pick up and switch everything and take away some of the backdoor cuts in the free flowing offense that made us so, you know, successful. So to be able to have a different way of playing, Chris Paul brings that. I think that just makes us a little stronger and be able to adapt to different teams versus always having to grind our way through and saying this is the only way we know how to play.
And that's not even to say that Chris Paul will never start. As we see in the playoffs every year, Steve Kerr isn't afraid to tinker lineups, yep, you know, based on matchups, like who the team is playing on a night-to-night basis, like the flow of how series are going. You know, going small with Chris Paul, Chris at the one, Steph at the two, Clay at the three, Andrew Wiggins at the four, Grant the five. I mean, that could be like the best small ball lineup in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? So, and you know, another point is, and kind of what MT, what you said, Bram, it's not always about starting. It's a lot of the times about those five guys on the court to finish games.
Dude, Andre Iguodala came here, made an enormous sacrifice, came off the bench, and ended up the finals MVP during the Warriors' first championship year. The fact that you're not starting doesn't mean you're not an enormous contributor. It doesn't even mean you won't be finals MVP. You know, you just got to buy in and figure out how your puzzle piece completes the championship picture. It is what it is, and I guess we'll see where it goes. Last CP3 question, and it's towards you, CJ. Because you just recently had an article where you detailed the relationship between Paul and Steph, how Chris Paul and Steph Curry click for Warriors sounds promising. What's their relationship? How long have these guys known each other? You know, what's the background here?
I know that Chris sort of took Steph under, you know, his wing as, you know, Steph was coming out of Davidson. You know, as Chris told everyone, each other's families, went to each other's weddings. You know, of course, they have those North Carolina ties. And I believe like the relationship was like a lot stronger, you know, earlier in their relationship. But when things got a little chippy, I forget what series it was. That series where Steph took the three, Chris threw the elbow. Yeah. Not the elbow, but, you know, put his forearm in the Steph. That was kind of like the first sign that, you know, things between them might be getting a little chippy, right?
Yep.
And think of it from Chris Paul's standpoint. Like, years back, you know, when Chris Paul was still at the prime of his powers, he was the player that was viewed as, like, the man next up,
yep,
to win a championship. And then all of a sudden, it was Steph.
Yep.
And, you know, and with that, you know, like I said, I'm not them. So, like, I don't want to get too into it.
Yeah.
But, like, as a competitor, you know, naturally, and not to mention it was always Steph's teams knocking Paul out the playoffs year after year after year. With that has to come a little bit of, like, tension, right? Chris said they hadn't worked out since, like, 08. Why? That kind of That kind of says something, right? Yeah. You haven't worked out with your boys since 08. Y'all got such a good relationship. Y'all haven't worked out since 08.
Yep.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's stuff like that. You know, it seems like if Stephen Curry didn't want Chris Paul on this basketball team, then Chris Paul would not be on this basketball team.
Exactly right. And he's excited for it. Yeah. I mean, I pulled a clip from Summer League. I won't play the full thing for you now, but we'll put it in post. But it's Steph talking about what Chris Paul adds.
Has it set in that Chris Paul is going to be your new teammate?
Yeah, it has. I mean, obviously, it won't until the regular season comes around when you actually start playing basketball. But starting to think about how the rotations will work and certain play calls and all that stuff. So your imagination is starting to get a little bit more vivid. Now he's in the fold officially. So, we're excited about the challenge. We talked about it. A lot of high IQ guys trying to figure out how to win and looking forward to it.
And look, obviously some different styles of play between you and him and Clay. You're talking about trying to figure out the fit just on and off the court. How do you feel like he is going to fit in with this Golden State Warriors team?
I mean, historically we've been successful with, versatility in terms of different skill sets and trying to mesh them all together. Obviously, centered around Coach Kerr's system and what's made us, a really potent offense and defense. So, CP has a very defined skill set in what he's done for his whole career. That's why he's, one of the greatest point guards to play. And the way that he sees the game, I think that'll fit anywhere. He's elevated teams that he's been on his entire career. So I expect the same, with us, and knowing that we're trying to get back to the mountaintop and how it'll look like. We'll see, but I just know we're all committed to winning. That's the beauty of how we're built.
It's not breaking any new ground. It's everything we've already said, but he doesn't seem upset by it.
Steph was like a counselor at CP3's basketball camp. Imagine going from mentor to this guy is the one keeping me from winning a championship every year.
Hell yes. Like, no, I wouldn't have that maturity. I would never be able to get over that. I think we all know I would be like super pissy the entire time. But hopefully, and it's a very low bar, Chris Paul has a lot more maturity than I do. We are running late, and I have a basketball court for you, CJ, that I desperately need your opinion on. So let's get through these next two kind of quick here. This next signing I was excited for, and it's the most recent, Dario Saric. So the Warriors got him for 1 year, $2.7 million. After a whole bunch of back and forth, kind of felt like Saric might have wanted more money, but when he realized it had to be the minimum, this was the place he wanted to play for the minimum. 29-year-old, 6'10 forward who can shoot, played about 14 and a half minutes last year for the Thunder, averaged 5.8 points, about 4 rebounds, and shot almost 40% from 3. Either of you boys like it or don't? What do you think about the move?
I like it. A lot of people forget early in Dario Saric's career, he was one hell of a player of the Philadelphia 76ers. Then started moving around the league a little bit. Production a little fell off. He had the ACL tear. He's fully recovered from that. And, there's a while where he was starting for those Phoenix teams that were contending out in the West, right? So this is a quality pickup. He fits the system. High basketball IQ, can, be good at fitting in the Warriors, read and react offense. He has a good enough shot so it can be respectable for, add to the spacing. And while he's not, ancient,
right?
At 29, he's still pretty young and has a lot of good basketball ahead of him.
And he's young for this Warriors roster.
His guys come to the Warriors, they win, and then they play themselves into more money elsewhere. So I'm sure that's at the forefront of Dario's mind right now. And I think it's a good deal for both parties involved. We talked to Mike Dunleavy Jr. yesterday, and he said they were on Saric, from like day one.
Yep.
Negotiations took longer, longer than they thought to, settle, but at the end they got their guy and they got a good fit.
Reminds me of Bielitsa. He's a big man who can shoot, who won't make a whole lot of errors, and actually might be a better contributor. I'm on board for the Dario thing. I started getting worried when he didn't sign immediately because the rumor came out like a week ago, and then we kept waiting and waiting and waiting, but it finally landed. MT, give us a take on the other signing. Corey Joseph also signed for 1 year, $3.1 million, gets a little bit more money, but it's about the same. He's 31 years old, 6'3 backup point guard, and similar minutes, but a little bit better than Dario last year. I think he was in Detroit, 19 minutes a game, 7 points, 3.5 assists, also can shoot the three at about 38.9%. What do you think, Marcus? Like it or don't?
Yeah, I like it. I've always liked Corey Joseph's game. He's basically replacing Ty Jerome. Sad to see Ty go because he was, you know, pretty solid for us. But, you know, it's a good pickup. And again, what he does is he brings veteran presence and ball security, which are two things that we desperately need. So the fact that he's got one of the better assist to turnover ratios and you're adding Chris Paul, which, you know, he's always been great at that. To me, it's a win-win situation. If, you know, few things were more infuriating as a Warriors fan last season than just the unforced turnovers. Like, you would just scream at your television screen. So we'll still get a few of those from Draymond just because that's how he plays and you need to have that. But thankfully, when the second unit comes in, you know, Chris Paul and when Corey Joe has to come in and spell people when they're injured or out and load management, we hopefully won't be having those same frustrations.
Every time you use the phrase Corey Joe, I laugh to myself. Is that like does he have a go-to nickname? I feel like he's the, I'm happy he's here. I also like it. I just didn't know. I mean, I'm very impressed that he does in fact have one out there.
Great, I will say, I think that's where it came from.
I saw Ty in the one hotel the other day. He's doing good.
Oh, nice.
He got Ty Jerome, season, right? I can't confirm that Ty Jerome's doing just fine.
Yeah, well, he got fucking paid. What Corey Joseph made me think when they signed him, but the same thing for CP3 and in some ways Dario. Rewind the clock. I don't know, man. 4 or 5 months ago, I'm at a bar with CJ and we're watching that fucking Utah game. And the Warriors are up, whatever the hell it was. And CJ calls, watch this. He's like, watch this. There's going to be a steal or turnover. And the whole time I'm telling him, fuck you. There's no. And then that's exactly what happens.
Well, I said it was going to be Kelly Olynyk.
Okay. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm giving you enough props. We don't need to like slow it down. Right. But that happens. Everybody remembers how the game ends. Two terrible unforced turnovers and the Warriors lose. These signings make me feel like Mike Dunleavy was at that bar with us, was like, never again. It's like, I don't care how we lose, but we're not losing like that. Last topic, gentlemen. All right. And this is our basketball court. So here's the idea. We all find ourselves in situations, social settings where somebody does something and you feel like it's wrong, but you never get to like bring them to court and figure out whether or not what they did was socially acceptable. In basketball court, we have our own judge, the honorable CJ Holmes, who presides. I give him a social situation. He tells me whether or not it is acceptable. He just used his gavel to ring us in. Here's the scenario and a little bit of background. So I've mentioned this before. I drive into the city every day. I park in a underground garage right by my office. And so that requires me to go in, park the car, get in an elevator, come on up. And it's a consistent universe of people. You know, we don't know any of the people. I go out of my way to not say hi, because if you do, now I've got to have a conversation with them every morning. But we recognize each other. You know, it's like being in the same neighborhood kind of deal. And so there's like 5 or 6 people I see in this elevator almost every day. And we go in there and it's like a 30-second ride. Today, one of those guys came in and faced the back the entire time. They didn't say anything. There was no problems. But instead of facing those doors, stood in the back, facing the back for the entire 30 seconds. Then when it opened up, turn around and left. It made me feel like he was going to blow up the building. I feel like this man was a serial killer. I don't understand why he would do that. I felt very uncomfortable. So it goes to you. Socially acceptable, CJ? If somebody comes in an elevator, is there some unwritten rule that we all have to be standing forward? Or is it okay if someone decides to face the back without talking?
It's definitely odd. No, it's not socially acceptable. Like, guy's a weirdo. Who does that? like, it's one thing if it's like a really packed elevator and you gotta like, you know, get in where you fit in. But like, if it's just like two guys in the elevator and you're like facing the wall. Like, who does that? Like, what that girl? That was probably the guy that girl on the flight was talking about. This guy is not real.
What was interesting? So like, we got to go up 3 floors, right? So this guy got on the elevator on the second floor. So that first floor, we come up and everyone's fine. I mean, we're not talking at all. That guy gets on. And then when he turns around, the energy in that fucking elevator got weird as shit. You know, and it was only, we're talking however long it takes to go up 1 floor. I mean, like 8 seconds. But during those 8 seconds, I think all of us felt like our life might be ending soon. So on the off chance you listen, come on, guy, just look at the doors, dude. Like, I don't, there's, you've been on a million elevators with a million people, all million of them. Look at the doors. It's an unacceptable thing. Marcus, I could see you doing something weird like that. Have you been a wrong way elevator rider before?
I think it's completely socially unacceptable. It goes against the unwritten rules of how to behave like a normal human in society. If you're not talking to somebody, if you're with somebody on the elevator and you're talking, then I can see it. Then it makes sense. But otherwise, I think he was just doing a social experiment and was probably recording. You guys are on video somewhere on YouTube.
Like, even the side of the elevator is fine, right? Like, it's like, right, elevator's like this, right? Like, this side are fine. You know, the back side towards the door is, no, like, standard, but, like, to, like, face the back of the elevator.
No, you're trying to bother people. There's no question at all. But I also realized I was so eager to get that ruling, I ushered us past the 14th roster spot question. MT, I know you had a question about that. To you.
Yeah, I'll go really quickly. So this is a wish that I have. I realize it's probably not going to happen, but CJ, any possibility that the Warriors use their 14th roster spot and convincing Christian Wood to somehow take the minimum, build his career, and get the bag next year like Dante DiVincenzo did?
Oh, man, I mean, that'd be a great pickup. A guy averaged, like, what, 16-8 last year in Dallas? I think, you know, I've heard some things about Christian Wood in terms of, like, his presence in the locker room and, like, you know, ability to be coached. That kind of rubs me the wrong way, but I don't have any, you know, it's all rumors. I don't have any substantial evidence of that. But, you know, considering those, if those things are true, because a guy that talented to be unsigned right now is insane, right? But, and granted, yeah, he's definitely more than a minimum player. And if those issues are true, that's probably why he's having so much trouble finding a new home. But if the Warriors can snag a guy like Christian Wood, I mean, that'd be incredible. He fits the system, can shoot it, super dynamic. And he'll be the 14th roster player, but he'll get some pretty serious minutes, you know, if he can get his act together. The Warriors go that route, I don't know, but yeah, we talked to Mike Dunleavy Jr. yesterday about the 14th roster spot, and you know, is it, you know, what are they thinking for that? They said they definitely want to add a guy with some size, and versatility, and the longer the better, and Christian Wood fits that.
Yeah, I mean, it fits the exact description, right? In today's game, the big man has to have skill, and that is Christian Wood when he's not upsetting people. We'll go super, super, super fast version. I'm looking at a list of unrestricted free agents who are still on the market. I'm going to give you a name. You guys tell me interested or not, all right? Bismack Biyombo.
Nah.
Yep.
Willie Cauley-Stein.
Man, you got some JaVale on him, maybe.
He's 30. DeMarcus Cousins, 33 years old.
Absolutely not.
Boban Marjanovic. I never always fuck up his last name.
They got enough. I mean, he's more of a guard. He's basically a guard. They got enough of that. Oh, I know. Boban.
Big ass Boban. Like, nah, 7'3" Boban.
He can't move. Nah.
No, he cannot. Tristan Thompson.
No.
Yeah, add CP3 and Tristan Thompson.
Yeah, last two names. Bol Bol, 24 years old.
Intriguing.
Big. Had a great start to the season last year in Orlando.
Very
before
intriguing.
It all fell apart.
Very intriguing.
Not enough defense for me. Not enough defense.
Antetokounmpo's brother, Thanasis. Any interest? Maybe we bring him on, show him how great it is here. And
the definition of a veteran minimum guy.
It's really, we would just be doing it for the recruiting pitch he'd be giving his brother. CJ, thank you, man. I look forward to your episode all week. It did not disappoint. I am sure I'm not alone. For people who need way more homes in their life, where do they go?
You can find me at CJHolmes22 on Twitter, Instagram, and now Threads. Ooh. And as always, I appreciate retweets, not likes. Y'all have been killing me lately.
I retweeted some shit today, literally today. The Threads thing makes me a little nervous.
Yeah, y'all, Warrior Nation. They've been
okay, there you go. Yeah, no, I thought it wasn't me. We've got to join Threads probably, but I just don't want to start back over. Do you know how long it took to try to get followers on Twitter? Like, having to start from zero makes me so nervous.
No. It's like a lot more convenience. As soon as you create an account, it like sends an alert to everyone who you follow on Instagram.
Okay.
And like it'll make you automatically follow a bunch of people. Like, do you want to follow everyone on your Instagram who has Threads? Like, you can say yes or no. So then they all get an alert. And then like I've had Threads for like 2 days, and I'm like 560 followers, probably 1,000 by the end of the week. So
I mean, no big deal. That puts all the pressure on ours. I'm still not joining it because who knows how fast we'll get there for us. Remember, we are on various forms of social media. Just type in Warriors Huddle, you'll find us. That's true for YouTube as well and Patreon. With that in mind, go Warriors. Hopefully, see you real soon.
Good.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.